May the peace of Christ be with you. Please pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
Good morning. Good morning. So now for our moments of informality. This Sunday is graduation Sunday, which means immediately following the service, you're all invited to join the graduates in celebration for a nacho bar and cake that will be following immediately after the service. Also following the service is a vacation Bible school meeting. It will be likely taking place in the sanctuary. Anyone interested in helping in VBS it's in the Kiwanis room. So if you go down for some nachos and cake, you just can go off to the side to your vacation Bible school meeting. Work trip members, next Sunday, June 8th, there will be a meeting for all members and parents of teens going. It will be at 9:30 in the Kiwanis room, the same place as the vacation Bible school meeting. And information packets and permission slips will be handed out to all participating members. The First United Methodist Church Women's Retreat will be taking place on September 13th and 14th. We will be meeting here at this church at 8:30 on Saturday and returning around 2 on Sunday. It will cost about $100 a person, and anyone who is planning on going or is interested in coming needs to contact Anita. A $25 deposit will be due by next week. Lastly, the church picnic will be on August 18th, 2014 at Oak Hollow Park. Please note that this is on a Monday evening, contrary to the Sunday evenings that we've had in the past. More details are to come. Additional announcements will be in your bulletin. Rise for the call to worship. Here we are, Lord, your creation standing before you.
Gathered together to praise you and to worship you.
This is your day, Father, and we thank you for giving this day to all of us.
Help us to always remember that each day is a blessing and a gift from you.
Make your presence known to us, Lord. Now please remain standing for the opening prayer. Creator and ruler of the earth, we lift up our voices, our eyes, our hearts, and our lives to you in praise. Make us your people. Uphold the weary, for whom praise may be very difficult. Humble the strong, who may take for granted your abundant blessings. Creator and ruler of the earth, continue to form us into your new creation, that we might welcome you to more fully become the ruler of our hearts and minds. Through him who came as a servant and now reigns over all creation, Jesus our Lord. Amen. Will you please remain standing for the praise hymn, How Great is Our God?
Good morning. It is great to have you here as our youth take charge of our service this day on Youth Sunday and the day that we are recognizing our graduates. If you turn to one page past center, you will find the list of our graduates there, one of whom was at our early service, Sean. He and his family were at the earlier service, so I want to call that attention to you. Let me find out who all's here. Lindsay, I know you're here. Where are you hiding? Come on up. Lindsay, graduating from Norwin High School, that was a week ago Friday, right? It's interesting how this all falls into place. Sean will finish classes tomorrow and graduate next Friday. This Friday coming. Hunter, is he here this morning? All right, Hunter's graduating from Norwin. Oh, let me back up. Lindsay, you're going to Seton Hill to major in education and minor in psychology. Hunter, graduating from Norwin as well, already has, will attend Westmoreland Community College to major in social work. Carrie, here comes Carrie, graduating, or already did, from Norwin as well. will be attending the University of Johnstown to major in business marketing. And Kyle, is he back there as well? Come on up, Kyle. Again, from Norwin, West Virginia University, major in geology. Oh, I took a geology course in college. We had to design a city. And I had the sidewalks and the roads and parking lots. And you know, now I still look and I think, you know, an inch of rain, where's all the water go? That's a major nightmare where you put all the water from a parking lot. Is also going to play snare drum in the West Virginia University band. And then some college graduates. Is Drew here? Drew from Slippery Rock has graduated as well, bachelor's degree in sport management. Lindsay, she here this morning. Wilkes University, Masters of Science and Education. Andrew and Dr. Megan Yanos, here she comes, graduating from Atlantic Veterinary College. She has that happened yet? So she has received her doctorate in veterinary medicine, and you're doing your practical, or is that now finished?
I'm done.
You're now have a full-time job or looking for?
Starting
your own. All right. I've got this. Oh, that's the wrong doctor. She would handle me well. Let's give them a round of applause. Let's pray. Oh, yes, thank you. I've got another note right here. Heather, she has her, you have here, graduating from Pittsburgh Theological Seminary this Friday. Friday must be a common date of graduations as well, with a Master of Divinity, and she currently is the Director of Children and Family Ministries at Union United Methodist Church down in Irmo, South Carolina. So we rejoice in that as well. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the achievements of these men and women. We know that one chapter in their schooling comes to a close, and yet another chapter is opened before them. For their decisions, O God, for their opportunities, we pray that your presence will continue to rest upon them. Continue to surround them with your hands, to guide them, to direct them, and always, O God, to give them a sense of peace and comfort, the assurance that you are with them and that you will continue to guide and to direct them as well. But we also know, O God, that as these new endeavors begin, that we need to remember moms and dads as well. Give them a sense of peace and comfort and assurance as well. For this, O God, we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. There's a gift bag behind you. Over on that end. Why don't you all grab one, and thank you for coming up this morning. Congratulations.
And for the praise song, Abba Father.
When
Please rise for the worship song, Build Your Kingdom Here.
Roll and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil what we were made. Come set our hearts ablaze and full, like wildfire in our very soul. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are the church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives. For you are joy and prize. To see the captive hearts released. The hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are the church. We need your power. Please serve. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Fill our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win the nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here, we pray. Unleash your kingdom's power, reaching the near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty changing hearts. You made us much, much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are the church. We need your power, the earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win the nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here, we pray.
It's time for the children's message. If there are any children that want to come up, I'm going to read you a story. It's going to be fun. Good morning, Hannah. So this story has a very important lesson about accepting people, and it's called But No Elephants. So Grandma Tildy lived all alone, and she worked hard every day, but she had absolutely no time at all to play. One day, a man came to her house. He was selling pets. Would you like to buy a canary bird? Asked the man. Very well, said Grandma Tildy, but absolutely no elephants. Grandma Tildy was cooking stew. The bird wanted to help, so he sang a song for her. It made Grandma Tildy very happy. That night, they sat down to eat the stew together, and it tasted better than ever before. The next day, the pet man came again. Would you like to buy a beaver? He asked. Very well, said Grandma Tildy, but no elephants. Grandma Tildy needed firewood. The beaver wanted to help, so he cut the wood with his very sharp teeth. That night, they sat in front of the warm fire. Grandma Tildy went shopping the next day. She met the pet man again. Would you like to buy a turtle? He asked. Very well, she said, but no elephants. Grandma Tildy was tired, and the turtle wanted to help, so he carried her home all the way on his back. That night, Grandma Tildy washed the turtle and put him to bed. The next day, it rained hard, and the roof started to leak. Then someone knocked on the door. It was you-know-who. Would you like to buy a woodpecker? The pet man asked. Very well, said Grandma Tildy, but no elephants. The woodpecker wanted to help, so he nailed the roof down tight, and all the dripping stopped. That night, they all danced together in the warm, dry house. The days got colder and colder, and Grandma Tildy put food in jars for the winter. I don't like the cold, she said. Just then, the pet man appeared. Would you like to buy an elephant? He asked. He's the only animal left, and I must leave before it snows. No, no elephant, shouted Grandma. She went back to her work. Then the pet man left, but the elephant stayed, and it started to snow. It kept on snowing and snowing and snowing and snowing. No elephants, said Grandma Tildy, but the elephant would not go. They could not see the elephant now, but they could hear him crying, and they felt sad. Very well, said Grandma Tildy. You may come in. The elephant was as happy as could be, but the elephant had a problem. He could not fit through the door, so they all pushed him inside. Oh dear, said Grandma Tildy. I hope the floor is strong. This is a very old house. Outside, the snow kept falling, but inside, the house was cozy and warm. Everyone hoped the winter would go away, and that spring would come back soon. Then that night, there was a very loud crash. The elephant had fallen through the floor. We cannot fix this, said Grandma. You will just have to stay there. The winter was long, and soon the firewood was gone, and the elephant was always hungry. So he kept eating and eating and eating until all the food was gone. We cannot leave, or we will freeze, said Grandma Tildy. But we cannot stay, or we will starve. What are we to do? The elephant felt sorry. Then he thought of a way to help, and he started to walk with the house still attached. He walked and walked and walked and walked. When he stopped, they were in a warm, sunny place. And that is where Grandma Tildy and all her friends are today. The end. And that book has an important lesson for all of us. A lot of times, there'll be people like the elephant that cause trouble and aren't really the best to be around. But if we let them in, they can actually help us a lot more than we think and make our lives a lot better. If there's someone you don't like or think is a troublemaker, it can actually be a pretty good friend. Let's pray. Dear Lord, please let us help us to accept people like the elephant into our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Today, the children's collection will go to the Veterans Hospital.
While they're moving the table back, I'm going to do a real quick joys and concerns for those in the hospital right now. We have Bill, who is in Forbes, and Nina Gogenhauer, who is in Westmoreland Hospital. We also have Betty and Alan. They're in Forbes. Betty was just admitted just yesterday, I believe. We should also pray for the family and friends of Sean. He just recently died in a car accident. Today's sermon scripture comes from Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. I will be reading the NIV translation. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating on another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing and rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Now, what this scripture is saying seems pretty obvious at first, that, you know, we should treat everyone well because we have all messed up in our lives, but that we're all saved by Jesus. And, you know, we really should treat everyone with respect and kindness and really accept them. Because one time, you know, you were stupid and made mistakes and faced horrible rejection. If not already, you will at some point. Because everybody faces rejection in their life. Its influence on our behavior can be really tiny or huge. Rejection will beat a person down. It will tell them no one wants to hire them or care about them, and everyone thinks badly about them. People will sometimes compromise for acceptance because of fear of rejection. They will abandon values and standards in order to gain or maintain acceptance in a group, whether it's at school, work, or among friends. How many have tried drugs or alcohol in order to be accepted? How many have become addicted to cigarettes and suffered a lifetime of consequences because they wanted to be accepted as a teen? Did anyone ever start smoking for a reason other than wanting to be cool or act older? In other words, to avoid rejection and increase acceptance? Everyone has to deal with rejection, from the womb all the way to the tomb. My focus is on overcoming rejection so that they don't negatively impact your faith, your enjoyment of life, and your expectations for a good future, your ability to seek employment or further education, or your ability to grasp who you are in Christ. God chooses what men reject. The stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. The church should be unified together by the word and by the spirit for the greater praise and glory of God. As unacceptable as we were and still are, with all our sin and problems, Christ accepted us. When Christ accepted us, he introduced us to God. When you know God, know who and what he is through a personal relationship with him, you know the glory of God. God's glory is revealed by his manifested presence. In Romans chapter 14 and 15, Paul is dealing with the divisions in the church. The church at Rome was divided over diets and days. The ones that Paul calls the weak believers would eat only vegetables because the meat they could buy in the marketplace was generally leftovers from offerings to pagan idols. The ones that Paul calls the strong believers said that they could eat anything because idols were not real and that meat was just meat. Again, the weak believers kept special holy days, whereas the strong believers said keeping special days does not save you. Only faith in Jesus can save you. But both sides in this church argument agreed on one thing. Both sides agreed to judge and despise each other. Now it's obvious from the names that Paul gives them which side he favors. He calls them strong and the weak. Obviously, his sympathies are with the strong. Paul did not believe that there was any religious merit in eating certain foods or keeping certain days. However, he emphasizes that that is not the point. The major point in any religious disagreement is that we should not put down those who disagree with us, even when we know that we are right. Thus, Paul says, "We who are strong ought to put up with the failings of the weak." Paul recognizes in these chapters the unpleasant truth that believers do not agree about many aspects of the faith. So what do we do about our disagreements? We accept them. We accept each other and bear with each other. Many Christians are unwilling to take Paul's advice. It's always amazed me that people in the church will fight over the littlest thing. In Romans 14, those that Paul calls the weak in faith were all wrapped up in rules and regulations. They were Christian Pharisees, and they said that if you were a real Christian, that you would keep all of the rules that the Pharisees derived from the law of Moses. Now, Paul does not say that these people are not Christians. He just says that they're not mature Christians. The mature Christians, the strong believers, realize that in Christ, we have freedom from the Old Testament law. They realize that we are not saved by keeping the law. So those were the two factions in the Church of Rome, and they despise each other. Now, the strong Christians enjoyed their liberty and despised the weak. The weak Christians kept their diets and their days and despised the strong Christians. Thus, they were both wrong. For whenever we dispute and despise, we are wrong. We may be right in the argument, but we are still wrong. In Romans 14, Paul gives us three reasons why we are wrong. First, those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. In other words, the meat eater should not despise the vegetarian, or the vegetarian the meat eater, because God does not despise either one of them. If God has received them, so should we, even when we don't like them. Secondly, who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Paul said, "Who do you think you are to judge a slave that does not belong to you? You are not her master, so it does not make any difference what you think about her. She will be judged by her master. That is what counts. And if she believes her master, who is God, will find her service satisfactory, because God will help her to serve." Paul said, "Do not set yourself up to be better than God. If God receives her, you receive her." Here he says, if she believes, God is with her. Thus, if we sit in judgment on her, we sit in judgment on God. Now, Paul is not saying here that we cannot have disagreements with other believers, for they are only people, and they can be wrong. But he is saying that we should not despise them, even if they are wrong. The third reason to accept others is found in verse 6. Those who observe the day observe it in honor of the Lord. Also, those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God. While those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord, and give thanks to God. Paul says that we should not only consider what they are doing, but who they are doing it for. We should tolerate others, even when we do not agree with them, because of God whom they serve. Again, this is not to say that we should accept their opinion necessarily. It is to say that we should accept them because of whom they worship. So Paul gives us three reasons why we should accept each other. God has received us all, God is Lord of us all, and we all honor God. Then Paul explains that accepting each other means acceptance to Paul is not something passive. It's something that reaches out to others and lifts them up. And there are two kinds of people in this world. There are those who tear down and those who build up. Any lazy fool can tear things up and tear things down. But it takes wisdom and work to lift up and build up. And that is what God has called us to do. Remember the problem that Paul was discussing in Romans 14? There was a division in the church, the weak Christians versus the strong Christians. We might suppose that since Paul identifies himself as a strong Christian, he would address himself to the weak Christians and tell them that they are wrong and they need to shut up and stop causing trouble in the church. But that's not so. He says in verse 1, "Welcome to those who are weak in faith." He's talking to the ones who are strong in the faith. Paul is not addressing himself in this chapter to those who are wrong in the argument, but to those who are right, that is, to the strong Christians. In verse 13, Paul tells us specifically how people who are right in church arguments ought to behave. "Let us therefore no longer pass judgment on one another, but resolve instead never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of another." He said, "Don't look at other people's conduct to see what they are doing wrong, but rather look at your own conduct to see that you are not doing anything to cause them to do wrong. It is not about diets and D's, it is about people." In verse 15, Paul says, "If your brother or sister is being injured by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. Do not let what you eat cause the ruin of one whom Christ died." In other words, Paul says to the strong Christians, "You and I know that whether you eat meat is not important in a spiritual sense. Even if the meat has been offered to idols, it's still just meat. But our weaker brethren do not know that. They think that eating such meat makes them spiritually unclean, and they have a problem with coming to church with people whom they regard as spiritually unclean. Therefore, Paul says, the solution to the problem is not for the strong Christians to insist that they are right. Rather, they should give up the argument, even though they are right. The strong Christians should stop eating meat for the benefit of the weak Christians. Paul said to the strong Christians, meat is not the issue. I do not care about meat. I care about my brethren in Christ, and I will do whatever I can to help them, even if it means not doing things I know I could do." That is what Paul would say about all church arguments. It does not matter whether we are right or wrong. People matter. I heard an old ministry story from Africa. It was the custom among the local tribes to cast out the dying because they did not want their huts to be contaminated with the ghosts of the dead. They thought that one little girl was dying, so they cast her out. But she still had the strength to crawl to the missionary's hut. He received her with tenderness and nursed her back to health. When she was well, he asked her if she wanted to go back to her parents, but she replied, "They cast me out. I want to stay with you and Jesus. I know the two of you would never cast me out." The girl probably did not know it, but she was quoting John 6, verses 37, where Jesus said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." The point for us here is that many weak Christians come to the strong Christians, as the little girl came to that missionary. They are hurting. They need guidance and encouragement. They do not need to hear us say, "Oh, you're wrong and you're weak." That is not what they need. They need for us to remember the words of Jesus. If Jesus will never cast them out, certainly we should never cast them out, and we certainly should not reject them. Let us pray. Dear Lord, please keep in our hearts openness and for the willingness for us to accept other people. Let us treat others as we would love to be treated. In your name we pray. Amen.
We come together today to remember that God accepts us all and that we are more important to God than stuff and things. We remember as we come this day that this is a meal of deliverance. A meal when the Israelite nation was captive in Egypt. The plagues had occurred and Pharaoh's heart was hardened until that last plague of the angel of death that would pass upon the land. And the only way for the Israelites to be saved was for a lamb to be slain and the blood placed upon the door jamb, as we would call it. And as the Israelite people shared in that meal that night, the Seder meal, the angel passed over and the firstborn died except where that blood had been spread. As Jesus gathered with his disciples, he became our Passover lamb. For his blood and body have been shed and broken for the forgiveness of our sins. And so at some point during that meal of deliverance, Jesus picked up bread. He lifted it to the heavens, he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, and it's broken for you. Eat it and remember me." The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his body broken for you. And then at some point during that meal as well, Jesus picked up a cup. He lifted it to the heavens and he blessed it as well. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant. It is my blood that is shed for you and the forgiveness of your sins. Drink and remember me." And so we come together today to remember Christ, to experience his grace and forgiveness in this holy meal, to experience the holy mystery of Christ's presence in this meal, remembering that we all are accepted, that we all are invited to come. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter our past, our present, or future. Christ comes to us in this open table. Whether you are a member here or not, you are welcome to receive. Whether you are young or old, you are welcome to receive. The youth will be serving us this day. Communion will be received by intinction. You will come through the center aisle at their direction, and then the youth will break off bread and give it to you that you might receive it. And then you may dip it in the grape juice, and then you might commune and receive. There are trays up here for those who prefer not to receive by intinction. The meal is prepared. Christ invites us. Let us come.
A hurricane, I am a tree, bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. All of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. Realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Oh, passion. He is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. Grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. Heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss. Heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have to learn to maintain these regrets. But I think about the way loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, us. Oh, how he loves
you.
He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves.
I just wanted to take an opportunity to thank everybody for coming out here and supporting the youth group. And I also find that it might be very important to thank those that help make what we do here with the students possible. First, I would like to thank Ms. Runzer for running all the music programs here. And it's just an amazing job that she does. And I'd also, yes, definitely, hands are welcome. I'd also like to thank Eric Platt and Jean Halza for helping out running our Sunday school programs for the students, and also any other Sunday school teacher whose name I'm forgetting. There are many more. Give them a round, too. But most importantly, there are two people, one that is here today and one is not here, that makes this student ministry possible. And without them, we wouldn't be able to do what we are doing. The first is Josh Berger back there. And you may not know it, but Josh does a lot. And without Josh, I know I wouldn't be able to do what we do here. And I'm very thankful to have him here, and I'm thankful to call him a friend. And the other right now is leading worship at Community United Methodist Church. Her name is Jess, and she helps out another tremendous amount. And without her, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. So give her a hand of applause. We're going to be doing one last song. It's Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. And a lot of the songs that we have done today, you're probably not super familiar with. But this is Amazing Grace, so I think we can handle it. So can we get some loud noise going on in here? I think we can handle it.
Oh, stand up too if you'd like. Or stay seating, whichever one you like, doesn't matter.
Now
today, treating others the way we'd like to be treated, and have acceptance in our heart.